So we're beginning here on the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Bet. The Gemara has been discussing the Machloket Rav and Shmuel with regards to individuals that have different abilities to utilize an area. We saw before in the Gemara that where two parties have equal access to an area, then they are oser one on the other the ability to use that area. Since they both have access to it, they both have equal utility from it and ease of access. Therefore, they are oser on each other unless they make an eruv between them. When they have uneven access, we saw that the Gemara says that the one who has easy access to it should take that area. It becomes theirs because of the ease of access, and the other party is pushed out as if they don't have a right or a utilization of that area, and therefore you would not require an eruv. The question came up with regards to when you have usage that differs, for instance, in a situation where one person can use it through zrika above 10 tefachim, one can use it through shilshul, using by drawing or by dropping down or pulling off from an area that is more than 10 tefachim below them. When each party has one of that type of access, what do we say about that shared area? So Rob believes that despite the fact that maybe one is easier than the other, nevertheless, they're considered to be of equal standing, and therefore both parties are asur in that area. On the other hand, Shmuel said that whenever it comes to a clash between throwing and shulshul and drawing up or down, then we would give the access rights to the one who is drawing because that's much easier utilization of that area. It's as if they have the ease of access that grants them permission to utilize it, and therefore we knock out or push out the other party so they would not make it asur for them on Shabbat. Gemara brought numerous Mishnayot and Braitot to discuss question the positions of Rav and Shmuel. And now at the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Bet, the Gemara is going to parlay into a corollary or adjacent machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Until now in the Masechta, we've seen that when a party has the right of unit usage, it means that they can enter into that area, utilize that area. That shared ability makes it a sur for both parties to carry in that area because it has a semblance or resembles the Reshut Rabim. Therefore, it would require an Eruv or a Sheet of Mevaot in order to allow the parties to carry in that area, even though they are both Rishuyot HaYachid, or both parties have rights that only make it a Rishut HaYachid. We also saw a Machloket between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, but both agree that in general, when it comes to a party that has easement or access rights, they don't have any utilization rights, but they have the ability to traverse the other party's area, that also can cause problems for the individuals where they can traverse. It's as if there's two parties to that area, and therefore they require an Eruv in order for it to be, again, permitted to carry in that area. What we're going to discuss now is a machlok within Rav and Shmuel with regards to avir, air rights. If an individual has air rights to a certain area, does that impact on the other party's ability to use it? And that comes up in a case where both have air rights to use it, as one party then have the advantage over the other party. And the Gemara is going to tell us, and we're going to see this now, that Rav believes that ein adam oser al chaviro derech avir, that one party can't cause a problem for another party if their only rights here are air rights. But Shmuel believes the opposite, that even with air rights, that two parties can cause problems for each other, and therefore they would require an eruv. Otherwise, the usage of the area would be asur. So now the Gemara begins with a scenario, which is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It's the last line of Pei Dalet Amud Bet. Bor sheben shtei chatzerot. If you have a bor, a cistern, an area that has water supply that sits between two chatzerot, between two courtyards, mufleged min hakotel ze arba'a or mikotel ze arba'a. Bor itself is more than four tefachim away from the chatzer on the right side, as well as four tefachim away from the chatzer on the left side. Rashi describes the scenario here as being that there is a captive mavoi, a captive alleyway that sits between two chatzerot. Neither of the chatzerot has easy access to that area. There's no doorway from either chatzer into the area. The only access they do have is through a window. Each chatzer has a window through which they can throw a bucket out into the cistern or well and draw water back into the chatzer. Now, then they throw the bucket, they have to throw it outward for its fachim, because it's away from the wall, and then it descends into the cistern or the bor in order to draw the water. Both parties have that equal access to this area. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Zeh motze ziz kol shehu. Each side, meaning the window or the access point from each chatzer, has to add on a little ledge, umimalei, and then they can draw water from the bor. And the chatzer on the other side does a similar thing. And that way, they have a heker, as Rashi suggests over here, which is that since these two parties have equal access rights to the bor, and both of their access rights are air rights, because it's through the air that they're able to access this bor, their cistern, according to Shmuel, that's problematic. In order to avoid that being problematic, he requires a heker, requires some sort of indication that you're utilizing this because of the specifics of the scenario, and not because shared areas don't have a problem when it comes to Shabbat and carrying on Shabbat. So in order to separate this from other instances where we have shared access, the Gemara says that Shmuel requires that you have some sort of extension because of the heker b'alma shlo yishtamshu b'shut acheret shel shnayim b'lo eru, so that people don't make a mistake and use other shared areas without an eru. Then, Rabbi Yehuda, who is a Talmid of Shmuel, he himself has the following opinion. Amar apidu kanyo, even if you have just the smallest kol shehu that extends from the window, that would be sufficient. So it seems that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with his Rebbe Shmuel. Shmuel requires a ziz koshu. He requires some sort of ledge over there. But Rebbe Yehuda requires something even smaller. Even a kanya, even some small rod, or some sort of small piece of wood would be enough. So Amarle Abaye the Rebbe Yosef. So Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef, Ha the Rebbe Yehuda dishmohi. Rebbe Yehuda's opinion is based on his Rebbe's position of Shmuel. Di Rav, because it's not from his Rebbe Rav, Hamar in a damoser al chavero derech avir. So what Abaye points out is that Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmid of both Rav and Shmuel. And what he is saying is that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a derivative of his Rebbe Shmuel's position. Now, from what we've seen in the Gemara, that would be obvious because you have Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, and then you have Rabbi Yehuda himself saying. So what we're assuming at this point is that Abaye did not have the first part of the statement that we saw here. He does not have the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel part of the statement. He simply has Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Rabbi Yehuda says that a kanya is enough. And what Abaye says is, well, that fact that Rabbi Yehuda believes that a kanya or the requirement for a heker is dependent on his Rabbi Shmuel's position. It can't be from his Rabbi Rav's position because Rav believes that the airspace, or when you have utilization or rights of access to the airspace, that does not affect another party. And over here in our instance, where both parties are utilizing that area through the airspace, they would not affect each other. And since they would not affect each other, there's no need for any heker. There's no need for anything at all. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda requires something means that he thinks there is a problem, and that is like his Rebbe Shmuel. And the Gemara wants to know, Udu Mishmuel Mehecha. How do we know that Shmuel believes that? Meaning that if you don't have the quote that we have on Rebbe Shmuel, then where else do we see such a concept in Shmuel's ideology that would indicate to us that he believes that air rights or air usage is something that is influential in causing an isur and requires some sort of rectification? Ilem ha'adam ar-rachman ar-mashmol. You're going to quote what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, which is gag ha'samuch l'rishut ha'rabim. If you have a roof that is adjacent to the rishut ha'rabim, tzaruch sulam kavua l'har tiro, then you need a fixed ladder from, whether according to Rashi it's from the Mirpeset, or yesterday we saw the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, also the possibility that it's from the Chatzer that's around. If you have a ladder or an ease of access for the parties in the Chatzer or on the Mirpeset, then they knock away or they eliminate the rights of the Rishut Rabim to utilize or access that area. Whether it's because the area is within 10 tfachim of the Mirpeset or is within 10 tfachim of the roof, the Rishut Rabim, which gives them a certain amount of ease of access. So now we see over there that if you have a sulam kavua, that it undermines the ability of the Rishut Rabim to use it because of the ease of access and the permanence of access of the Mirpeset or the Chatzer, areas that are Rishuyot Yachid, to the roof area. That gives them the sole rights to use it and deflects or pushes away the rights of those people that are in the Rishut HaRabim. We saw yesterday all different explanations and reasons for that. But the inference that we saw was that if it doesn't have a sulam kavua, then the Rishut Rabim would cause a problem for those people in the Mirpeset or the Chatzer the Shuriyot HaYachid to utilize that area on the roof. So you see that the rights of the people of the Reshut HaRabim, which utilize that area, as Rashi points out, by its airspace. Rashi here adds an additional factor that he did not mention yesterday, which is something called Chifufei, that there are these pillars that they generally have in the Reshut HaRabim. Still in the modern day, we use them when you have on the edge of sidewalks, they put up these small pillars that don't allow cars to access or to go onto the sidewalk, block access for cars onto the sidewalk or block them from ramming into the sidewalk. So too, in their day, they had on the edges of the Reshut HaRabim these little pillars along the way to stop the vehicular traffic, which meant the animals and the wagons that are going through from rubbing up against the walls and causing damage to the wall. So if that's the case, people in the Reshut HaRabim are pushed away from the roof of this building, and therefore their only access to it is using the airspace and not through direct access to it. So you see there that the airspace or utilization of the airspace causes problems for other parties. And the Gemara answers, Zomek Rav Papa, we saw yesterday Rav Papa has a different idea. Even though generally when people are traversing the Reshut HaRabim, they're carrying heavy loads, and therefore the only usage of that area would be its airspace and not to directly access it. Nevertheless, there are certain instances or certain utilizations that are easy to use, and even when you're pushed away from the roof, you can use it, and that was for a kumta and sudra. That is for putting your cloak or your hat up there to air out, which is easy for you to reach. Even if you're a distance a little bit away from the Reshut HaYachid, this roof from the Reshut HaRabim, you're able to place it on top over there easily without any problem, and you'll be utilizing it physically and not just its airspace because of the fact that these are light items or small items that give you access to it. So if that's the case, then you don't have any proof from this that Shmuel believes that one's rights to the airspace will cause a problem for another party. Elamiha, it comes from this. Ze motzi ziz koshu umimalei. Ze motzi ziz koshu umimalei. Ela, the reason is because of what we just said before, Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel. Because we heard from Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, when you have a boar ben shtei chatzerot, and is more than four tefachim away from each wall, then Shmuel said over there that each party has to put something out and will grant them the right to use it. Taima da'apik. The only reason it works is because they put something there. Halo'apik, if they don't put anything there, amrina adamu ser chavir o derech chavir. You see from this that someone will cause a problem for another party. Now, the Gemara's assumption originally was that Abaye didn't know about this statement. Now all of a sudden the Gemara backpedals and says, well, Abaye did know about that statement. So then what's the Chiddush? If Abaye knew about the statement of Rav Yehuda or Shmuel, it's obvious that Rav Yehuda's position is premised on that position of Shmuel. So what Rashi explains over here is the Gemara is telling us that the Chiddush of Abaye is that Rav Yehuda's position is not arguing on Shmuel, but rather explaining Shmuel's position. And the way that we read it, and originally it seems, is that Shmuel has a position, and then Rav Yehuda himself disagrees or has a lesser necessity for a protrusion to be a heker. What the Gemara is now saying, according to Abaye, is that Rav Yehuda is premised on Shmuel. Not only is he premised on Shmuel, he's explaining Shmuel. When Shmuel says, ziz koshu, koshu means literally koshu, and that means a filukanya. And he's just explaining or defining for us what Shmuel meant. And therefore, Abaye was in possession of both of those statements, both the statement of Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, as well as the statement of Rav Yehuda Didei. Nevertheless, there's a chiddush here that he's telling us that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing his Rabbi Shmuel, but rather explaining that statement of his Rabbi Shmuel. Now, this case over here of Bor ben Shtei Chatzerot, explained it according to Rashi in the situation of the setup, like Rashi says. Rashi notes over here, if it was not more than four tefachim away from the wall, then you'd have a problem because it would be Tashmisho v'nachat. It would have something that you have easy access to, both of you doing it through shilshul, through drawing the water up and down, and it would not require any zrika, any throwing of the bucket out, any difficulty in accessing it. And we saw before where both parties have easy access to a particular area, they are oser achad al hasheni. They ruin it for each other. And the only way then you could have the ability to utilize that cistern is either by making an eruv between the two chatzerot, or by putting a suspended mechitza down the middle of the bor, by which each party would only use their side of the bor. And we saw that in a Mishnah earlier on, that if you have shared access to a bor, are the only ways to solve the problem. If you can through a roof, if you can't through an eruv, then it has to be through a mechitza that separates between the waters or the shared waters that are there. Therefore, it must be that it's more than 4 tefachim away from the wall. Balei Tosafot have additional scenarios, which we're going to discuss later on in the Gemara, because other cases in the Gemara are going to come up that seemingly are similar to this case, and we're going to have to differentiate between those cases and this case. In order to do so, the Balei Tosafot come up with slightly different scenarios than Rashi is describing over here, and we'll defer that until we get to that case where they try to contrast between the case we have here of Bor Ben Shtei Chatzerot and other cases. Now the Gemara says, okay, we understand now where we know Shmuel's position from, the Rav Mehecha, where we know that Rav disagrees. The Rav thinks that when you have utilization rights through the air, it is not problematic, and therefore in our case of here, where Bor Ben Shtei Chatzerot, he wouldn't require any heker, he wouldn't require anything at all, you could utilize it without any problem. Imalei Mameha, do we know it from here? Shtei Guzus Dorot, if you have two balconies, Zo Lamala Mizo, they're on the same wall, but they are on different levels along the plane. We saw this again just recently in the Gemara. One is higher than the other. Below Asu Mechitza L'Tachtona. And the lower one didn't make a special Mechitza that allows them to draw water from the river on Shabbat. It is a suspended Mechitza, which gives you the right to draw water on Shabbat. So the upper balcony did it. The lower balcony did not do it. Shtehem Asurot. They are both Asur. Adshi Yarvu, until they make an Eruv between them. So the Gemara, as we saw earlier, is the case where the lower balcony and the upper balcony shared in building the Mechitza on the upper balcony, and they both draw water through it. The upper balcony does it by simply dropping their bucket through there. The lower balcony does it by throwing their bucket up and over the higher balcony through their Mechitza and drawing the water that way. And they are problematic for each other. And Rav Huna Amar Rav said about that, Lo shanu ela b'smucha. That's only true when the two balconies are within 4 tefachim of each other. And again, here, these are balconies that are offset from each other, not one on top of each other. One to the right, one to the left. And then one is higher than the other one. As long as the distance between them is not more than 4 tefachim, then they cause problems from each other because each one of them has ease of access to utilize that special mechitza that was built on the upper one to drop the bucket through the hole, the suspended mechitza over the waters. So therefore they are usur on each other because they both have rights of access. But aval b'mufleget, if they are further away, more than 4 tefachim, elyona muteret, v'tachtona asura. The upper one gets to utilize it and the bottom one does not get to utilize it. The upper one gets to utilize it because they have ease of usage, whereas the one on the bottom now has a difficult time utilizing it. Now, if it's simply about utilization, we saw before that according to Rav, there's no difference whether your utilization is through shilshul, drawing, or zrika, or throwing. Rav thought that either of those was enough access to cause a problem for the other party. We don't differentiate between them, don't say one is easier access than the other. So in this case, the upper one utilizes it by simply dropping the bucket through the mechitza, and the lower one has to throw it through a zrika, and then draw the water that way. So according to Rav, there should be no difference between them. And nevertheless, we still say that the upper balcony is allowed to utilize it, and the lower balcony does not utilize it. So it seems that the rights of the lower balcony are simply air rights, since the distance of 4 tefachim obliges them to throw it in order to be able to utilize the mechitza on the elyona. And since they are simply air rights, they do not cause a problem for the upper balcony. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Dilmashani Ocha. Maybe that's not the explanation over here. The Kaven de Lezeb Zrika Vishilshul. Ulezeb Shvilshul Lechudei Kelezeb Bizrika Ulezeb Petach. Dummy. We said just before that Rav believes that when you have access through Zrika and access through Shilshul, that's called equal access, and you cause problems for each other. What the Gemara is pointing out over here, it's not exactly equal access over here. The lower balcony has to do a number of items. It has to actually have two types of Zrika. It has to throw it upwards to get to the upper balcony. It has to throw it across to traverse the 4 tefachim distance between them. And then it has to shoshul, drop the bucket through the hole in the upper balcony to draw the water. So it has two zrikot and a shoshul in order to gain access to that water. Whereas the upper balcony only has one type of access that it needs there, and that shoshul is simply drawing the water through that mechitza that's hanging there. So yes, Rav says that zrika and shoshul are equal, and therefore they are oser each other. But over here, it's not exactly one has zrika and one has shoshul. One has shilshul, and the other one has zrika, zrika, and shilshul. That already maybe is considered, as the Gemara suggests over here, like a case of zrika and petach. Petach means easy access, and zrika means difficult access. And that's one of the differences over here. The only, you know, the upper balcony has easy access. The lower balcony has difficult access. If that's the case, we always give it to the party that has easy access. And maybe that's the reason over here that the upper balcony gets the usage. It's not because the lower party's air rights don't affect them. It's because the lower party's access is very difficult. And since the upper balcony's access is much easier, that's what grants them the right of utilization or the right of usage over here. And we can't prove anything by Rob's view with regards to another party's air rights access. Tell me how. Maybe we learn it from here. The Amar of Nachman, Amar of Avua, Amar Rav, Shnei Batim, Vishlosh Churvot B'neihem. So right now, the Gemara is assuming that we have two houses. One house, and then another house to the left of it. In between the two houses, there are three houses. Each of those houses is a churva. It was once occupied, and now it's no longer occupied. Rashi over here says that Ein Bahem Diurin, Ein Lahem Balim. Nobody lives in them, and nobody owns them anymore. And that's why there's no problem in terms of, we're going to see in a second, the necessity for an Eruv, or worried about shared ownership over here that would require an Eruv, because these are basically unowned and unoccupied areas. Bali and Tosafot disagree with Rashi, and believe that these are, yes, unoccupied, but they're not necessarily unowned. They might have Bali and they might have owners, but the owners are just not present. And when owners aren't present, they don't affect the other parties that are there. So over here you have a string of five houses in a row. The two outer houses are occupied and have ownership according to Rashi. The three middle houses have no occupants, have no owners, and they are destroyed. They are churvot that are open into each other. The two outer houses, their access to that area is not direct. They don't have a door into those churvot, into those houses that are in the middle. They simply have a window that grants them access to the churva that's adjacent to them. And then the churva that is adjacent to them has a big pirtza, a big break into the middle churva. And then the other side of the middle churva, there's another big break into the other churva. And then again, a window into the two houses that are on the side. So in this instance, zemish tamesh b'samuch shelo, ayidei zrika. Zemish tamesh b'samuch shelo, ayidei zrika. Each one of the outer houses that is occupied and owned can utilize the churva, the house that's next to it that is unoccupied and unowned and destroyed, through throwing from the window that they have adjacent to it. They can throw into it, take back from it. Each one of them has access. Vayemtza'i, asur. But the middle one is asur for both parties. Leaving aside that the emtza'i is asur, because that'll become a pivotal in a second in the story here, but given that the two outer churvot, each one is mutar for the party that's adjacent to it to utilize it, that seems to be because they both have rights of access. The house that is adjacent to it has rights of access through zrika, through throwing into it, but they also have rights of access through shilshul. They could just drop it out their window and utilize it. So they have mixed access. They have access that allows them through shilshul, and they have access through throwing into that area. The party all the way on the other side that is in the occupied house that's on the other side, three churvot away, he only has access to the area that's adjacent to the other house by throwing through zrika. And Rav says over here, the one who's adjacent to it gets full rights of access to utilize it on Shabbat. So what it seems to be is that the party that's adjacent gets the rights of usage because they have shilshul and zrika, so they're ones with the easier and better access to it. And the party on their side that during the week can throw things into there, that throwing or airspace utilization does not impinge on the party that's close by or nearer to it because they have access through shilshul. And same thing on the other side. The party that's adjacent to the churva on the other side, since he has easy access and zrika access, the party that's farther away, who only has zrika access, is not going to hurt him. And what you see from there is that air rights or air access is not enough to ruin the utilization of the other party that has better and easier access to that area. And even though the area that is directly adjacent to your house, that churva has a pirtza, it's broken open into the middle area, which is a sur. And we've seen before when you have an area that is broken into an area that's a sur, that makes the area that is broken into has a pirtza that it's into or is adjacent to an area that's a sur, it makes it a sur as well. Rashi over here points out that in this case that's not true because the people in the houses don't have direct access to the churva that is adjacent to them. They don't have access through the window and not through a doorway. Therefore, the chachamim do not impose or cause it that the area that's asur in the middle will cause problems for the two churvot that are on the outside or adjacent to the other two houses. And this, the Gemara suggests, is the source for Rav's position that utilization or rights of access through the air do not affect the other party. So Yati Rav Bruna, the Kamar Lahashmaito, Rav Bruna was sitting there and saying over this memra from Rav and making the suggestion that that's Rav's position. Amalei Rabbi Elazar Barbe Rav. So Rabbi Elazar, who was, it sounds like, a member or a party to the Beit Midrash, Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say this? So Rav Bruna says, Amar Lein, yes, he definitely said it. Achvilei Yush Bizei. So Rabbi Elazar says, show me where he's staying. Achvilei. So Rav Bruna showed Rabbi Elazar where Rav was staying. Atel Kamei de Rav. So Rabbi Elazar approached Rav and said, Amar Lein, Amar Mar Hachi. Did Rav, meaning that, you Rav, did you really say this? Amar Lein, Amar Lein, V'hamar hu damar lezeb shul shul, ulezeb zrika, shnehem asurim. He says, how could it be? Aren't you of the opinion that if one party has rights of access through drawing, and one has rights of access through throwing, they are both asur. So now, in our case over here, what Rabbi Elazar is pointing out is that Rav's position is very difficult to understand. And his point is that the reason that you must have rights of access over here is because you have a competition between Shilshul and Zrika. One has access or easy access through Shilshul, and one has access through Zrika. And we know from Rav's position earlier in the Gemara that that equal access causes a problem of Isur. Why he believes that that's the case is because of the middle area. Why is the middle area Asur? If Rav really believes that air rights do not cause a problem for each party, then the middle area over here should not be Asur. The middle area, both parties only have air rights or air access to it. And since they only have air rights or air access to it, then the middle area should be mutar for both parties. Why is it asur for both parties? What that shows you is that Rav clearly is not saying that the reason for the heter over here is because air rights are mutar. Now, if that's the case, then Rav's position with regards to the outer areas is somewhat difficult to understand. And that means that the reason that it must be mutar for each party on the outer areas is because one party has ease of access and one party has difficulty of access. And that's what he questions Rav. He says, you're telling me that one has easy access through Shilshul, through just simply drawing or throwing something out their window and pulling it back in, because the other party has to throw it across three churvot to get there. And so we want with the easier access, we grant them the rights of usage. But you, Rav, yourself said that we don't weigh that. We don't weigh when you have easy access through Shilshul and through Zrika. You say they're even, and that equal access makes it that they both should be asurim. So according to you, Rav, I don't understand. If the middle one's asur, it's clear that you believe that avir is problematic. Air rights make a problem. And the outer ones, you're saying are mutar. Well, that's because one has easy access, one has difficult access. But that competition or that tension of access is between Shilshul and Zrika. And we saw earlier in your position that you believe that those are equal, and they cause it to be asur. So according to you, all three of them should be asurim. So Rav responds to Rabbi Elazar and says, you misunderstood the case. Amalei misavart tekame kishura. You understood that the three churvot that sit between the two occupied houses were in a row? No, that's not the case. Tekame kichatsuva. They're like a tripod. You can see in the picture that's embedded in the Gemara over here that you have on the top and the bottom, you have the occupied areas, the occupied houses, that have a chalon, that have a window into the churva that's adjacent to them. And then to the left is that third churva. That third churva doesn't sit between the two other churvot, but rather right next to or adjacent to the other two churvot, reaching from one house to the other house straight through. So now the explanation of why the ones on the right side, each one of them is mutar for the area that is adjacent, whereas the ones on the left side are not, is because of the following. The one on the left side that runs all the way across, both parties have access to it through Shilshul, through drawing in their window into that area, as well as through Zrika. And so therefore, both parties have the same type of access to the Churva. And since both parties have the same type of access to the Churva, it makes it asur that we've seen from Rav before. When you have equal access, then both sub-parties make it asur. On the right side here in the picture, where each one has access to the churva, there they have differentiated access. The one that's adjacent to the churva has easy access to it. The one that's further away only has air rights, can only do it through throwing into that area. And so therefore, in the case by where they're adjacent, the ease of access of the one party and the air rights of the other party, the air rights of the other party don't impinge on the one who has the easier access. And that's why they are both mutarim. Like Rav Lashitato, as we've been describing till now, that air rights are not enough or sufficient to make the other party asur. The left one, where they have the churva that extends, the middle churva that extends between both of them, there they both have equal access to it through shil shul. And since they both have equal access to it, that makes it asur for both parties because both of them have a window into that churva. Now even though that churva is asur and is also broken open into the other two churvot, Rashi once again here says, Rav Agav, Deshtaim Asmuchot, Prutzot Emtzai, they're broken open into the middle one, Hoser, and that is Asur, Lo Achmur Rabbonon B'makom She'en Lo Tashmish Gamur. From him we're not Oser in those situations where you don't have full access, She'e Asur Mishom Parutz. Just because the two right churvot have parutz into the churva on the left side, that's Asur, it's not going to make the ones on the right asur because you don't have direct access to those churvot. You can't walk in there. There's no petach. You can only utilize it through the window. That type of subpar access will not be affected by the fact that the area that you're going into also is parutz to an area that is asur. That is Rav's answer to Rabbi Elazar, the solution to explain his position over here, as well as to indicate to us that Rav's position is that air rights do not impinge on the other party's rights over here. Rashi points out that it's very strange that the churva on the left side should be asur. The churva on the left side should be no different than the case of the bor before. The bor before, we had two chatzerot on each side. Each had window access into the mavui in the middle. There was a bor, a cistern sit in the middle, that was more than four tefachim away from the wall. And when you throw the bucket more than four tefachim away, they had equal access into there, but it was only air right access. That air right access does not impinge on one on the other, and according to Rav, you could do that without a problem. Why don't we say the same thing about this churva here? Okay, in the area that's adjacent to the window, you have easy access by shul shul. But as soon as you move more than four tefachim away from the window, your only access is through zrika. And both parties have that similar access of zrika to the area in the middle of the churva on the left side, and therefore, you have air rights that are competing. And according to Rav, air rights don't impinge on the other party, and should both be able to use the area in the middle without any problem. That's the question that Rashi raises over here, and comparing it to the case that he said before. He says, lo tikshu, that's not a question. Because in the case before, by the bor, the only way you could access the bor was through the air rights. There was no utilization by shil shul. There was no ability to utilize anything in that area through simply dropping it down, because the only utilization, the only thing that was in that mavoi was the bor in the middle, and that's the only thing you could do. So the only usage was through zrika for both parties over there. In our case over here, each party has dual access to that churva on the left side that extends between them, all the way between them. They have areas that are adjacent to them, which are easy to use through shul shul, and then they have areas in the middle that you can utilize through zrika. In that instance, we don't separate between the two. But the fact that you have rights through drawing that are closer to you, that impinges on the rights of the other party even further in, where you can only access it through zrika. So he says, lo tikshu, de elu churva mishtamshim ba tashmishot harbei. By the churva, you have dual access to it. Ben besamuch, ben berachok. You can utilize it in the area that's adjacent to you, close to you, or in the area that's far away from you. The area that's close to you through shilshul, the area that's far away from you by zrika. And therefore, that dual access makes it that it's not considered to be that you only have air rights to the middle. You have air rights, but you have air rights, they're also an extension of your shul-shul rights that are adjacent to the window. And that dual access makes it that the churva now is problematic for both parties, as opposed to the case of bor, where your only access was through zrika, because that's the only thing you can do, is throw your bucket into the cistern to draw the water. Over there, it does not make it asur. The Bai Tosafot on the previous Amud question this view of Rashi and say, why is the case of the bor any different? Just like by the case of the churva, you can use a throwing access to the middle area, and you can do drawing access or shul-shul access through the window of the area adjacent to you. You could say the same thing in the mavoi between the shtu chatzerot. You could throw the bucket into the cistern and utilize it that way. Or through the window, you could use the four tefachim that are adjacent to you to the wall through shul-shul. Why does Rashi say that that area that's adjacent to the wall cannot be used through shul-shul? It's true, there's no bor there, but you could utilize it. And why doesn't that cause the same problem? Therefore, the Balei HaTosafot, in that case before, by the bor between the Shtei Chatzerot, gives one of two options that make it differentiated from our case over here. One possibility is that they're not similar because Rim Ifaresh Konze Abor Moshech Kol Orech HaChatzerot Mafsik Ben Dalel HaSmuchim LeChatzerzu Barba HaSmuchim LeChatzer Acheret. So the one possibility is that the cistern or the charitz in between the two chatzerot and this mavoi that is a captive mavoi that only have access through the windows runs along the entire length of the area. And therefore the four tefachim that are adjacent to one window, the four tefachim on the other side adjacent to the other window have no connection between them. There's no overlap between them because of this bore that runs all the way through the middle and separates between them. And that's why, even though they can utilize the four tefachim that are near them, that has no impact on the zrika of the area in the middle because the four tefachim are completely separate. As opposed to the churva, where the four tefachim are on the same level as the rest of the area that you can use through a zrika. There's nothing separating between the area that you can utilize through the four tefachim through shilshol and the four tefachim on the other side that can be used through shilshol. It's just an open area that runs between them. That's the problem over there in the case by the churva, which is not replicated or not the same by the bor, because by the bor creates a division because it runs along the whole length of the mavoi to create a separation between the two areas of the four tefachim. That's one answer that Tosafot gives. Inami, Tosafot says that the other possibility is Kon she'oto efseg she'ben shtei chatzerot she'abor omeid sham eino reshut yachid el reshut rabim or karmelit. He says that the other possibility is that it's not a mavoi. It's not an area that is a reshut yachid. And the bor in the middle is definitely a reshut yachid because it has, as Tosafot says here, 10 walls that are 10 tefachim high. So in that case, the only utilization you have is through the bor. Through the window, which is a reshut yachid from the chatzer, you can throw the bucket into the well or cistern that's there. Since the cistern rises 10 tefachim, it's above 10 tefachim, and reshut rabim, or commonly it doesn't go above 10 tefachim. And since that's the case, you can throw the bucket over the Reshut HaRabim or the Karmelit into the bor that's there and utilize it. But you can't use the areas that are adjacent to you with Shilshul because you're going from Reshut HaYachid to a Karmelit or Reshut HaYachid to a Reshut HaRabim. That'd be a sur. As opposed to the case of the Churva, where the areas that are adjacent or right below the windows are Reshut HaYachid. So that's another way to differentiate between the cases. And again, that has influence on how you explain the case before. As I noted, bor ben shtei chatzerot, Rashi gave one explanation. Tosafot gives two different nuances in that in order to differentiate it from our case over here so that it's not a question. Rashi simply says that it's not a problem because over there they don't use the four tefachim. Over here they do use the four tefachim, but never explains why that is the case. Tosafot explains why that is. Either because there's a bor that runs along the whole middle separating the four tefachim, or because the four tefachim are a rabim or a karmelit, and that's why they can't utilize them. But again, that makes the case over there slightly different than we explained before. Amalei Rav Papa the Rava, Lema Shmuel Leitle the Rav Dimi. Let us say now that Shmuel, who believed that heir rights can impinge on another party's rights, that he doesn't hold of Rav Dimi. Dechi Ata Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he brought a member from Rav Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael. Makom Sheinbo Dalet Al Dalet. An area that does not have 4x4 tefachim, mutar l'bnei reshut rabim, ul l'bnei reshut yachid, the katef alav. Both parties in the reshut rabim and parties in the reshut yachid can use it to rest their loads on it. As long as they don't exchange between something that was in the reshut yachid to the reshut rabim or vice versa. So this is an area that's less than 4x4 tefachim. It's above 3 tefachim, but below 10 tefachim. For that reason, it's not a karmelit, it's not a reshut yachid, it's not a reshut rabim, it is a makom ptur. That's because it's taken out of all those areas. It's above 3 tefachim off the ground, so it can't be batel to the ground there, whether it's reshut yachid or reshut rabim. It is below 10 tefachim, so it can't be a reshut yachid. And it's less than 4x4 tefachim, which if it was 4x4 tefachim, it would be a karmelit. So it doesn't have any of those characters, and therefore it's a makom ptur. And what Rav Dimi says in the Rav Yochanan is when you have a makom ptur that sits right between the Reshut HaYachid and the Reshut HaRabim, that both the people in the Reshut HaYachid and the Reshut HaRabim can utilize it. What they can't do is take something in the Reshut HaRabim and put it down the makom ptur, and then from there take it into Reshut HaYachid. And even though I'm in a Torah that's mutar, in the Rabbanan we don't allow that. But what we do allow is for each party to use it. Now that's despite the fact that when the parties in the Reshut HaRabim are using it, the people in the Reshut HaYachid have heir rights to that area as well. And when the person in the Reshut HaYachid is using it, people in the Reshut HaRabim also have heir rights. And we see from Rabbi Yochanan's statement that air rights do not impinge on the other party's ability to use it. And that would go against Shmuel's position that we just saw before by the boar, that air rights are problematic and you need some sort of heker. But it says, no problem. Hata Rishuyot Doraita, Hacha Rishuyot Dirabanan. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a Rishuti Yachid, a Rishut Rabim, and a Makom Ptur in between them. Rishut Yachid and Rishut Rabim are areas that are obvious to people that are Asurim. You can't take from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. Therefore, when they use the Makom Ptur, we don't need a Heker to tell us that you can't intermingle between those two areas, because that's obvious to people. In our case, over here by the Boar, Hacha Rishuyot Rabanan. Here we're dealing with two Rishiyot Rabbanan. Chachamim asu chizik l'divrayim yoter mishel Torah. The Chachamim strengthened their position even at a higher level than that of the Torah, because people are going to make mistakes. People are not going to assume that it's a problem to take something from a chatzer through a window into a cistern, when parties on the other side in the chatzer and the window also can utilize that cistern. They're not going to understand that the reason that it's okay over here is because it's all done through the air. And they're going to be confused and think that parties that have multiple ownerships, two chatzerot that are adjacent to each other, can use something. They both can utilize it without putting up an eruv, because you see you can use the boar in the middle. So in order to stop people from coming to that incorrect conclusion, the Chachamim instituted a heker that they didn't need by Rishuyot de'oraita, only by Rishuyot de'rabbanan. Amalei Ravina L'Rova, Miyama Rav Hachi. The Rav really believed that air rights do not impinge on the other party. Now, he works well with Rabbi Yochanan's position, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, even in Doraita it's like that, and Rav will say the same thing by Rishiyot Rabbanan. But over here, Vayitmar, Shnei Batim Shnei Tzidei Rishut Rabim. If a person owns a house on either side of the Rishut Rabim, owns a house on the left side, the right side, and the Rishut Rabim sits between them, Rabba bar Ravuna marav asur lizrok mizeh lizeh. Rabba bar Ravuna, in the name of Rav, says you can't throw from one Rishut Yachid of yours to the other Rishut Yachid across the Rishut Rabim. Now this is above 10 tefachim. Rishut Rabim is only extant or only exists from up to 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim, it's already a makom tour in the Rishut Rabim. So this person that throws something above 10 tefachim across the Rishut Rabim should be fine. Yet Rav says it's asur. Shmuel Amar, Mutar, Lizrok Mizeh Lizeh. Shmuel says it's no problem to throw from one to the other. So Shmuel makes sense. Now even though Shmuel says that air rights do impinge, and over here, as the Ritva and others explain over here, the people in the Rishut Rabim have somewhat of air rights to use that which is above the Rishut Rabim. So they have rights of access to that area that's above, and that right of access should have impinged on the ability of the people throwing it across from one there in one house. On one side it should have been, to the other side it should have been. Nevertheless, Shmuel says it's not a problem. So Rashi points out that's consistent with Shmuel's opinion that when it comes to Rishiyot Oraita, we don't worry about it. Now here we're talking about Rishiyot Oraita. You're talking about Rishut Yachid in the house on one side, Rishut Yachid on the other side, and Rishut Rabim in the middle. So the rights, or the air rights of the Rishut Rabim, do not impinge on the ability of this person to throw it across. And that's why Shmuel says it's mutar to throw across the Rishut Rabim in that manner. And that's consistent with what we saw with Rabbi Yochanan before. We have Rishut Yachid and Rishut Rabim sharing a makom tor. It's not problematic, and Shmuel agrees with that because it's deoraita. So Shmuel's position we understand. Rav's position is much more difficult. Rav says you're not allowed to do that, and Rav is the one who believes that even by Rishiyot Rabbanan, of course, and certainly by Rishiyot Doraita, air rights or air access should not impinge on the other party's right to utilize it. So why can't you who owns a house on one side of the Rishut Rabim and on the other side of the Rishut Rabim throw it across the top of the Rishut Rabim? Even though the people in the Rishut Rabim have access to it, that shouldn't impinge on your ability to throw it across that Makom Pitur. Amalei, Lav Meukimno. Didn't we already establish that this is a case, the Midlei Chad Umitatei Chad, that the houses on either side of the Rishut Rabim are not level. One is higher than the other. So when you throw from the one that's higher to the lower one, that's an easy throw across your Rishut Rabim. When you throw from the lower one to the upper one, that's a difficult throw to make sure that you get it, and many times you're going to miss the throw. And when you miss the throw, zimdin mina gander benofil, it's going to roll and fall into the Rishut Rabim, ba'ati letuye. And when you don't make the throw across, the guy's going to go get it and bring it into the Rishut Yachid. So it's a gzeira, Rav, in this specific case, not because the people in the Rishut Rabim have air rights, and that impinges on the ability of you to throw across, rather because of the scenario where one house is higher than the other house. That's a difficult throw, and you're likely to miss the throw. And then when you miss the throw, you're going to go pick the item up and take it from a Shuta Rabim into a Shuta Yachid. That's why we are more circumspect over here. We don't allow you to do it. And Rav says it's Asur. It's not because he disagrees with what we've seen so far in his opinion that air rights do not impinge on the other party's access. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah in the middle of Pei Hei Amud Bet.